At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we're upping the benefits without upping the price. Introducing Magenta Max, now with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, get Netflix on us. Right now, pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $650. Only at T-Mobile.
Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. Up to 40 gigs high-speed tethering. $650 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Simmons support charges waived. Receive Netflix standard with two lines.
Welcome to Shooting the Sports-ish AEW Review. I'm joined alongside my friends, and we've got a lot to talk about on this show, and we'll tell you about the finish of the show and if it was as dynamite as Wednesday will be. Welcome back, everyone. We just finished up with the AEW show, Exploding Barbed Wire Ring Deathmatch. Got the fellas alongside. Gentlemen, I'm going to go rotation for you. Let's just hit the main event real quick. It's very new, very fresh in everyone's heads, and then I'll pop a clip on so everyone can see it as well. Rob, I'll start with you. Match in general, Kenny Omega, Jon Moxley, Barbed Wire Exploding Ring Deathmatch. What'd you think? What'd you think of the idea of the match, and how do you think it played out?
The match was great. The idea, when I heard it first on Dynamite, I was like, oh my God, you know, that's, and I knew the way Jon Moxley, like, we know how Jon Moxley is, and he's not gonna, it's not gonna be like just a generic, like, they're not going to do a gimmick. They're going to do FMW style.
Sure.
I love the whole match. Everything was great. Both guys, Kenny Omega did a lot more than I thought he would. I knew Moxley would be Moxley. Just like everybody else, I kind of figured that Omega was going to win. I wasn't really expecting Karl Anderson or Gallows to come in. The ending, I loved Eddie Kingston covering Moxley. That was paying homage to some of the old FMW. But I think just like everybody else, the last explosion was a letdown. And that's something that it's unfortunate because I think that's going to be the main talking point for a few days for AEW, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be the main talking point. You know, before we even talk about it, let's go take a look at that.
Oh my god, Kingston covering Jon Moxley.
So there is the finish of this one. Cam?
Oh.
Thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts. most of them are inappropriate. I thought that the main event was unnecessary to a degree that I don't know has been found yet in the world. There's no reason that much barbed wire should be in one room. There's just no reason.
So you're under the objective that even if the ring exploded, had it should or was supposed to towards the end of the match, you hated it due to the fact that it was FMW 1995 barbed wire?
Hate's a very strong word. I don't hate it. Barbed wire, bloody death matches, not my cup of tea. I won't say that I hate it. I won't say that people who watch it are stupid. It's nothing like that. It's just not for me. However, knowing that you have a pay-per-view that's being main evented by Moxley and Omega just makes things really easy because you can tell those guys, hey, go out there and figure out what you want to do. And they're going to put on just an absolute killer match in whatever atmosphere you put them in. Everybody just knows that. Having said that, the explosion should absolutely be the conversation for the next 72 hours. And they deserve everything that they're going to get from every podcast that talks about it. I'm sorry. You just are. You had one job.
You know, you say this, and we're talking about this, Karen. I'll hit you in 1 second. It's 2021, so you have the technology with all the pyrotechnics that you use for your company already. So for that not to really happen in the end, It was kind of shocking to me, to be honest with you, because I thought the other explosions when the ropes were hitting were timed pretty well and looked fine. Tell me what you think, man.
Oh, man. Well, where to start? So unlike Cam, all due respect, this match is kind of up, you know, down my alley.
Sure.
I like old school, you could call it maybe ECW-esque or even like deathmatch style wrestling. I really, really like the wrestling, but man, the end felt like one of those episodes of The Office or like Parks and Rec where it's like seriously anticlimactic on purpose. That's exactly what this felt like. It was a literal, like a sparkler show. And I think that came across really kind of not great. But I think that if history is to show what the match was, I think that if you're a hardcore wrestling fan or a deathmatch wrestling fan, you'll find a lot of joy out of this one.
I felt, and we'll hit around the table on this really quickly, I felt most of the gimmick parts of the match looked really well, whether it was some of the barbed wire that obviously wasn't razor sharp, and that's fine. I'm not asking anyone to kill themselves. If it looks good, it looks good, and I'm happy about that. Thought the explosions looked good. Thought some of the barbed wire looked good. Thought the explosions on the outside of the ring could have been a little more. Obviously, over the finish, Rob, I'll hit you first. How did it look to you visually as far as a death match goes?
All the way till the end, I it wasn't bad. The I like how the announcers covered for Omega after that first explosion where they said the spark went into his eye. You know, that was good, because if you paid attention, you're like, he wasn't close to that, but sure. They covered nicely. But overall, I think it goes back to my first talking point. I knew Moxley was going to make Renee Paquette nervous, you know, and he made a lot of people nervous for Renee. Because the thing about John Moxley is he's one of those guys that, like, even if you're not a big fan of his, you still like him. You know, I don't know if you've, he's one of the very few wrestlers that I think like that, whether he was a heel or when he was a face. I think it didn't matter. It people loved him. Like, he's one of those kind of wrestlers. And,
yeah.
The thing is I remember his CZW matches before he even came to WWE. And
sure.
I was joking earlier with somebody. I go, I remember when he signed with WWE the first time, or well, signed with WWE. I remember thinking, I'm like, huh, I didn't see that happening. Maybe he doesn't want to do the deathmatch stuff anymore. And that theory went out the window now, but he was fantastic. Omega was better. Omega's one of the greatest, obviously, wrestlers in the world. When he went into this match, I just didn't know if I would see the Kenny Omega that I'm used to. And he actually exceeded my expectations. And I should remember that. It's Kenny Omega. He does that every time he wrestles. So I hate that the only thing I'll probably end up thinking about this match is always going to come down to the very end, and that irritates me. But overall, if the ending could have been different, I think it would have been a match we talk about for a long time.
Yeah,
could be a match we don't.
Yeah, I think that's the struggle, like you said, Rob. You go to the finish, and can we keep watching it? We don't need to go to Cam because it's not his cup of tea. He's drinking coffee. So Tanner, back up to you. Did you think the gimmicks in this match, besides the finish, looked well and were played well?
I liked the barbed wire on the ropes for sure. I got to say, I wasn't a fan of Bryce Remsburg's outfit, perhaps. It looked like he was more dressed for maybe handling like biological weapons rather than like handling a barbed wire match, perhaps. The only spot that really kind of irked me besides the finish was the paradigm shift to the outside, where you could see the explosions were on the other side of where they impacted on the crash pad. But yeah, I mean, I thought the explosions were nice. I thought that the Moxley false kick out where he puts his foot on the ropes after the one winged angel. I thought that was really, really smart of them to do, because it keeps the mystique of the one-winged angel alive and that no one was kicked out of it yet. But, you know, Moxley was able to kind of evade that and keep the match going longer. And then Kenny later in the match gives an even more brutal one-winged angel, and that's what finishes the match.
You know, I agree with you, and to add one more layer, I did like the way Kenny was dressed for the match. It was very reminiscent of FMW, including the shirt, the jeans, the cutout knee pads, and everything else. We'll leave everybody one more time with this. And there it is.
Now that I'm planning for a wedding, the thing on the top of the turnbuckles actually has that's got a sparkler thing for me going now. So it wasn't a total loss for the main event. I figured out some wedding planning.
Well, there you go.
And I want to say something too to finish that ending. For it to happen in Jacksonville, that kind of actually shows what the Jaguar season looked like too. So that I think that was fitting. Oh, wow, that was a good one.
Rob was looking at the Jacksonville draft plan board, and they're looking and going, oh, all right, let's throw this draft board away right in the middle of the ring for this one.
Yeah, that's Urban Meyer right there.
It's like you're setting up for the explosion of Trevor Lawrence, and you take Trey Lance.
Well, you could put it that way, or let's talk next. You're setting up the expectation of possibly a Brock Lesnar, a CM Punk, a Stone Cold Steve Austin, and the big reveal on AEW this evening was Christian Cage has signed with All Elite Wrestling. Christian, who remembered last appeared at the Royal Rumble. Christian and WWE didn't come to terms on a new deal that would have him more or less involved in storylines past Mania. So he took an opportunity, and he's going to wrestle again. First off, I will ask each of you, and it's twofold. Number one, Christian is an amazing pro wrestler, Hall of Fame worthy, everything the Big Show said on Monday, right? But then, unfortunately, got into Mount Rushmores and top fives ever, and I think the expectations were laid differently than what they should have been. Rob, I'll go to you first. What did you think about the reveal, and do you think it was set up correctly or a little over the top?
When everybody started speculating right away, Christian was like one of the first people that you started hearing about. And the thing is, and I thought about this is, I don't know if you guys have heard it before, but some people have said that Randy Orton is your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler. Right. I don't know if you've ever heard like people say that.
Sure have.
Christian is one of those kind of guys. Christian is so-and-so's favorite wrestler. And Christian was my favorite wrestler for the longest time. Like, I loved him as a singles guy when he was in WWE, like, before he left. And then he went to Impact. And then when he came back, I was just like, this is awesome. But this is not the Christian I know, and it's not him. It's the people behind him that are not letting him do anything. I like it for his sake because I love Christian. I feel bad that there's two things. They set it up for people had their hearts set for Lesnar or Punk. I mean, that, or for the most part, there were other people mentioned, but I think that's unfortunate because when you tend to set people up and they leave empty or they feel empty handed, that's going to hurt you. I, the average fan is not a diehard fan like most of us are. So when they see Christian, they're like, huh? You know, that went a little.
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous point you bring up, Rob, is you look at the fact of from like a household name, because this is how they were playing this more towards the middle of the week, right? This big name. And to us, yeah, Christian's a Hall of Famer. He's fantastic. He's going to do great things there. But to me, you shouldn't have walked that hill as high as you could. Cam, what do you think about Christian being in AEW, and what do you think about the announcement in general?
Yeah, so the announcement was tough because, one, it came early, and so it allowed the crowd to think for itself, right? Which is a dangerous game to play, especially on wrestling Twitter, right? We all know that. I love that it's Christian. For me, Christian's best work as a single has always been outside of WWE. I thought his run in TNA is criminally underrated for what it was. So I'm hoping that lightning can strike twice for him because he seems to do really well when he gets away from WWE as far as single runs can go.
Sure.
He's 47, so he's a little bit up there, but he's a guy that can go that can be there week to week. He's going to up the level of the mic talent, and he's going to be a guy that can slide into hopefully being a top tier competitor, right? You hopefully that you can slot him into the top level stuff. I think for those reasons, he's better than both Brock and Punk because Brock is a prize fighter. He's only going to show up 6 times a year. And when he shows up, it's going to be for a big paycheck. And we chase CM Punk like the boyfriend or girlfriend that chases the one that broke up with them. And we just can't get over the why factor. Like, it boggles my mind how much we as a community chase Punk. Like, it's so stupid. So I'm glad it wasn't him too.
Cam, I think the wrestling community in general chases anyone that leaves wrestling and then doesn't come back, and that they're expecting, hey, they're going to come back because they always come back. Everyone always comes back. And because Punk has not came back, I think that's where it comes from. Taylor, tell me what you thought moving forward into the Christian announcement and how you feel he fits in there.
I feel like he's a really good fit. I feel like, and this might be controversial, I don't know. I feel like Christian is the kind of wrestler people wish that Cody would be. I really, really enjoy the work that he puts on. It is kind of weird where he, like Big Show, is like, no one outworks him. And like that's kind of like his gimmick going forward. I've never really thought about that about Christian. But I mean, it makes you think, and I mean, it's something that they could really capitalize on. Moving forward with Christian, I think that he could immediately be somebody who could work his way close to the main event scene, or even, you know, into a program with Kenny Omega. I mean, Kenny's pretty much freed up right now. Now that the Moxley program's over, I think that could be a maybe a little bit too soon, but I mean, if they played it up nicely, I think that they could really make it happen and really put together a good program between Kenny and Christian somewhere down the road.
I'll leave it at this. Debuted in Impact 16 years ago in 2005. When Christian debuted there, it's a different age, as many of you mentioned, probably you're thinking out there. But I do think because of the injury and how much it took off his career, that if he is healthy, he does have a few years to give to the business. So I think I'm excited about that. Let's talk about another one, though. We had the debut of Ethan Page, formerly with Impact Wrestling, was with the North, with Josh Alexander. I think many people had predicted that this was going to happen. It came to fruition today in another match that I was kind of iffy on because of a sonic ring. We had a literal brass ring hanging above the ring for the face of the Revolution. I thought the match itself was fine. No issues with the match. The sonic looking ring is kind of where it lost me. Rob, you've watched wrestling a long time. You've seen the briefcases in New Japan. You've seen them in WWE. You've seen contracts and Crockett hanging. You've seen other things on poles. What do you think about this brass ring?
I actually thought it looked more like a hemorrhoid ring that you would get like from the hospital, but that's what was unfortunate. I need to say I've never had one. I'm just saying I've seen what they are. That's what it looked like, and I think it's kind of we know where the brass ring in wrestling comes from,
right?
You know, and I think it's, I love AEW. They need, I'm not trying to steal anyone's thunder because I see it in chat quite a bit, but there's a lot of real estate in people's heads, you know. They might want to stop, like, just be their own thing. Don't even, just do their own thing. That's all you got to do, and you'll be fine. Impact did that forever to an extent, but I like the match. I love Ethan Page. He's He was actually probably my favorite wrestler at Impact for a good 2 years.
Sure.
I've only traveled to like really go to like WWE or WCW shows and ECW back in the day, but I actually traveled 4 hours to go see him in an independent match because he was somebody I wanted to watch. And then of course, about a month later, he was near me and I didn't know that until it got announced, but it was worth it. I got to see him, and he's an amazing wrestler. He is Mike ready, which is good for AEW. Absolutely. To have a guy you bring in. Christian's obviously Mike ready, but Ethan Page is Mike ready, and he's better already than some of the guys they have. So that's a good thing. I enjoyed the match. I love the winner, Scorpio Sky. I think Scorpio Sky and Darby Allin can put on an amazing match whenever it happens. And there were some spots. I thought the Rhodes injury, like angle, or there was talk that Rhodes was already dealing with shoulder problem, like going into the Shaq match. So they did what they could to protect him as long as they could for the match. I really thought, yeah, in a way, like this is gonna sound like I guess I am burying him, but I don't think many people bought this pay per view to watch Cody Rhodes. He should have been replaced if he's dealing with a shoulder injury.
Rob, I'll stop you there for 1 second. We can all hit on Cody in a second because I think you're absolutely right. I don't think it's a dig at Cody. I think what it is just reality at this point where everybody's okay with Cody being the face of AEW on TV, right, or there, but you really need to see Cody in the ring. And Triple H and WWE went through the same stretch for a long time as well before he rejuvenated himself into different characters. And I think the American Nightmare character is just maybe a little stale. And I also think fans know that he's probably going to be leaving soon for a paternity leave and not put a lot of stock in him. Cam.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the ladder match? Did you see any of the ladder match? If you did, what did you like? What did you not like?
The brass ring is stupid. That's pretty dumb. Again, as Rob said, and it's been said, Vince just is living rent-free in the heads of so many people. And specifically, he has bought front water real estate in Tony Khan's head.
Sure, Cam. Sorry to cut you here. I'm one of those people who believes that if AEW had stayed away from a lot of these jabbiness things, not when they first launched, because that was okay, but after that they may have not turned away so many just straight WWE fans that aren't just wrestling fans. Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree with that, and I still find myself struggling to get into AEW. There are people there that I like. I don't bash it or anything. I'm still trying to find my way into that crowd as well. I don't know what a face of the revolution is, right? If you just throw phrases onto matches to make them sound cooler, like that's actually not how that works, right?
It was the brass ring to be the face of the revolution. So in theory, shouldn't he put the ring over his face and they'd taken a picture so then it just truly looks like the face of the revolution? Sonic ring?
Dude, it makes no sense to me. Like, you're making fun of... The brass ring analogies just doesn't make any sense because if you're grabbing for the brass ring, not at the company where the brass ring exists, that just makes you lower tier. That's all it does. And now you've basically just gotten a whole bunch of people to buy $50 pay-per-views buys to explain to them in a match form that you are a lower tier than the thing you're making fun of.
Oh, I agree. I think to even further your point, I think if you would have had a normal object there, a contract, a briefcase, something to that extent, I think this brass ring took away from the actual in-ring work. Tanner, hit me with what you thought of the ladder match and what you thought of everyone in it.
One quick thing. You know how we said something about when we see a tweet? Now I do work like part-time for Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp just tweeted like that in the scrum. Paul White says that Vince McMahon called me and congratulated him and wished him luck when he heard about the signing. They agreed that it was the best move for him and there's no heat or dirt, is what Paul White said. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that one doesn't shock. I'll get right to you, Kim. Yep, that doesn't shock me, to be honest with you. If you knew the past with the Big Show, Paul, and WWE, like Vince tried to take care of him, there just wasn't a spot there. Cam, would you want to hit there before Tanner goes back and talks the ladder match?
Yeah, I was gonna do an actual tweet that wasn't like nice and positive like Rob's. This one said, "Tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern for an explosive new episode of Monday Night Raw by from T-Bar." So T-Bar is into the chat.
For those of you listening out there who may not have seen the explosion at the 27-minute mark of the show, we will play it for you again so you can take a look at the ring. Finally, we go to you with your comments of the ladder match. Floor is yours, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I really can't say anything that any of y'all haven't already said. I'm in complete agreeance here. I think that a lot of what AEW does, and this, I guess a lot of it is to get a pop with their hardcore fans. It's like a lot of this wink and a nod kind of stuff where it's like, sure. Ah, get it? It's a WWE thing.
Yeah.
But I think that really just kind of like, for me, as a neutral who watches both, and as well as like, you know, I'm sure we all watch a bunch of different promotions, but as a neutral, I'm just like, you're really just giving more credence to WWE. There's no reason why you need to go and be like, oh, it's the brass ring and we're going to actually put a physical brass ring there. That aspect of it came across as really lame to me. What was really cool is Ethan Page debuting. And I think that he's also going to be a really big benefit to the AEW roster in terms of like the mid card section of it. I thought that there were some really great spots in the match. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm not a huge fan of what they're doing with Max Caster. I don't get the gimmick. I don't know if he's trying to be lame while he's rapping to the ring. I don't understand. But I thought that the match overall was good. It's not the most exciting ladder match that you're going to see ever, but it had a purpose. And ultimately, it put over Scorpio Sky even further so that way he can have a better individual run himself.
Yeah, I thought, and I agree with you about the Scorpio Sky aspect of it. I thought Lance Archer in this match came across really well. I thought a lot of the spots with him looked very good. Pentagon always looks great. Again, I just thought the Giant Booty-O WrestleMania 32 ring accessory hanging from the ring wasn't right. If you're liking the show, please look down below, click like, subscribe, and if you didn't see the ending to the AEW show... All right, now that we've seen the ending of the show about four more times, let's talk about something positive. Yes.
Before you do that, I've got a couple tweets here.
Yeah, baby.
So I won't name the people involved in these tweets. There's a couple. One is every dude on my grinder promising me the night of my life when they come over. That's the caption for the video. And then another one here was... this is all a big metaphor for Moxley and for Moxley's relationship with, I guess, Kenny, and it exploding at the very end. And that one, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if they're being humorous. I don't know. But
whatever. I mean, at the point of the explosion, though, we could have just had a gender reveal party for one of their kids at that point. That's what kind of what it looked like. But anyway.
It happened on Oprah, so yeah.
See, there it is. Let's talk about Sting, Darby Allin versus the FTW crew, which it turned into. Cinematic style match filmed in a warehouse with a ring. I'm not a cinematic match kind of person. I don't care for them. I think this match, however, was shot very well. I thought it was fun. It looked good. It held my attention. With the cinematic, a lot of times it's too over-the-top fake for me. This wasn't it. It kind of had its parts, the spots, the bumps. And again, at the end of the match, we, however, do have Sting pinning Ricky Starks for the finish. Rob, I'll hit you first on this one. What'd you think of the cinematic Sting in the AEW, and did you like the match in general?
You know, it was, it had a lot to live up to. I think that was a problem going into it, because the last, I believe the last match, last cinematic matchup we've seen with AEW was this Stadium Stampede, I believe. I could be wrong, but going into it, I was just glad to see Sting like fighting again. I wish it was in the ring. And like I said before, like in our chat that we've had, that I kind of feel for AEW fans, because I did read a couple of people say that it was people thought he was going to be wrestling there, you know? So I feel bad for that, for the fans that were expecting him to be there. But I completely understand why it had to be a cinematic match. It makes all the sense in the world. There were a couple of things that just didn't make sense, but it's okay, Lay. And what I say didn't make sense is Sting getting rid of the bat at one point. He just tosses it away, and then Darby, a little bit later in the match, throws it to him, and he catches it and hits, maybe it was Brian Cage. I don't remember who he hit. And
yeah, it was Curtis Cage.
It broke, and they made that look a little too crappy, I guess it's the right way to say. The match was okay. It wasn't – I like cinematic matches because it's different. I wish it was a little bit better, but I think they did good putting Sting in this match, because I still think everybody in – or Brian Cage, Darby Allin, and Ricky Starks are going to be stars like in this business for a long time, I believe. If Darby Allin doesn't die from a injury, which I don't want, but I'm just saying he's some of the things he's done. It's
if like he shortens his career even further, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And but overall, it was good. You know, it could have been better, sure, but for what it was fine with me.
Cool. Cam, I'll hit you with a cinematic. What were your thoughts?
I love the cinematic matches. I think once they started happening last year, right, around the other promotions time, early last year, I feel like you can do a lot, and it allows you and forces you to kind of go outside of what you've been doing based in the climate that we're in right now. It gives you the ability to have a new club in your bag that you didn't have before. And when you do them, I think they were done really well. As a WCW kid, like, Sting absolutely gets me hooked on AEW every time he's on screen, right? So, again, another thing that's kind of pulling me in there. Love seeing him wrestling again. I think him and Allin and their feud with Cage and Starks is really interesting. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the cinema of it. I think Sting is a cinematic wrestler in the sense of how he's shot and portrayed, much like Taker is, that they fit in that narrative because that's kind of how they're built and it makes sense.
Okay. Tanner, go to you. Your thoughts on cinematic and then your thoughts on this match in general.
I don't know. Cinematic matches don't do much for me. I'll be completely honest with you. I thought it was well executed. I thought that they did what they needed to do, especially with the constraints of, hey, we need to make sure we take care of Sting. We don't want him to get hurt in this match. Obviously, Darby Allin has a bit of disregard for his own body and well-being, so I don't think he minded taking a bunch of the spots that he did. I don't know. So I'm kind of like in the middle of it. I'm not big on cinematic matches. I thought it was well executed, though. It was very reminiscent of like the Boneyard match that they did at WrestleMania, or WWE did at WrestleMania, rather. But yeah, I mean, this one here, either you're going to love it or you're not, right? It does have Sting, so if you're a Sting fan, go for it. There's a lot of like the guys with the Sting masks, you know, so you got a lot of these reminiscent like tropes and things like that that'll give you the warm and fuzzies. But beyond that, for me, it didn't do much.
Did any of you, feel free to jump right in, it when Darby jumped off the second floor of the building through Cage through the middle, which was kind of, if you're watching the match and you followed wrestling, you knew someone was going through that middle just below it was set up. I thought it came across fine, though. It didn't come across to me personally as, holy shit, the crash pads right there, like some of the times that Shane may have done it in WWE. Not that falling that high is still not scary. Anybody want to hit on that? I thought it looked good.
Yeah, they did an excellent job at hiding that, for sure.
Yeah,
it looked good. I thought that was, like, well done. Like, I was just like you. I was like, oh, somebody's going through that in a few minutes. And
sure.
It went fine. I didn't think much of it, like, after that. I'm like, well, like, I just knew they covered that well. Like, they didn't make it look bad. So it was good. They made it look good.
I agree. Cam, did you see this bump?
I did. Again, unnecessary, but it's what Darby's known for, right? Like, that's what he does, and he does it very well. Better than probably anybody in the game right now in the entire industry. He pulls those things off and does them very well. That's his thing. He loved it.
Okay, we got Tony Khan in the press said, he said two things. He goes, he's glad Moxley and Omega are good after being in a dangerous match. He did say that Kenny Omega's master bomb plan was a dud, and he drew the plans up with crayons. he's showing some humor with it, you know.
We'll show some more humor too. We'll go at the 40-minute mark. We will show you that lovely barbed wire exploding ring spot that Mr. Tony Khan is talking about. Here, hit you with it. Go ahead.
No, I don't have anything. I just wanted you to play the clip. I really just like the clip.
We'll play it at the 40-minute mark. Let's talk the opening of this show, Bucks versus Jericho and MJF. I thought a lot of people expected either one way or another of this match. And by that, I mean, I thought they were expecting a 5-star classic, or they thought it would just be a match. It was neither of those things. I thought it was good. I thought it was well worked. I thought a lot of the spots that the reversals made sense. It was interesting. It plays into the dynamic of MJF and Jericho feuding, eventually, obviously. Rob, did you like this as the opener? Would you have had it as your opener? And then in addition to that, where do you see with the Bucks and Pentagon? I'm sorry, with the Bucks, with Phoenix and Pac going?
Well, you know, the match going first was good. I was surprised it went first because if memory is correct, usually they always start with that match. I believe they start whenever they do a casino match, battle royale match, they start with that. But with them starting first, it was good. Jericho was great. And he's been a lot better since he got pretty much tore up on Twitter, like by the night NBA fans got to see him. I don't know if you guys remember that night, but they were all over him but he's gotten a lot better, and he was pretty good. There were a couple spots in this match that were misses, but I think people. What I said to one of my buddies, I go, if people think we're going to get the same Young Bucks match that we got at the last Revolution, that's not going to happen, because chances of that happening again are slim to none. But it was still good. I mean, it was entertaining. And I actually, like, for the longest time, I actually thought the Young Bucks were going to lose the match. I really did. For them to win, and then how it turns out that they'll be facing Pac and Phoenix.
Yeah.
Take my money right now.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Right. Cam, what'd you think of the opener, and would you have used your tag match as the opener on a show that, to be frank, didn't have a lot of normal singles or tag matches on the show?
I did like the placement. I think that it's been a while since you've had a pay-per-view. You want to come out hot, but why not those four, right? Why not those four to you know, you want a leadoff batter that's smoking the ball, and those four, they're four-year pillars. They're going to be able to do it. They're going to put on a show no matter what. So I applauded where they put them in the lineup. I thought it was nice. I thought it was a good start. And they did exactly what you needed them to do to come out and just, you know, light the place on fire. Jericho is who Jericho is, right? You're not getting 100% of what he used to be, but you're getting the best of him right now. You know, as Rob said, so that's good. MJF is the next, you know, fill in the blank name in the world of wrestling. He's going to be. And the Bucks are, you know, literally one of the two of the few people that started the company, right? And we know their resume. Sure. So it makes a lot of sense. I thought it was perfect timing. A tweet here, Bully Ray quotes Vince and Kenny McMahon saying, "The only thing they remember is the finish."
Yeah,
I will watch the rest of my time to Texas Gentlemen.
For those that don't know the finish, you'll see that momentarily. Hit me with your thoughts though first.
Yeah, man. I'm not saying that AEW has copied anything NXT wise, but I think what we've learned in the past from especially NXT takeovers is if you start the show with a really hot tag match, it tends to go, the rest of the show tends to like fall really well in line. And tag team wrestling is a really big staple of AEW, especially right now. And I think that they executed this really, really well. Honest, for me, the Jericho MJF story is interesting. I wouldn't have put them in this match per se, but I think that they executed it really, really well nonetheless. What does have my attention is exactly what Rob and Cam have alluded to here, is that Rey Fénix and Pac are two of the best individual singles wrestlers that I've seen and that I know of on the planet. I have no doubt in my mind that when it comes time for Pac and Rey Fénix versus the Young Bucks, they're going to put on something absolutely extraordinary, and I can't wait to see it happen. You know what else I can't wait to see happen?
He may have been talking about the barbed wire exploding ring death match.
Kingston covering John Moxley.
It gets better every time.
The worst part is that Eddie had to lay there like he had been knocked unconscious. Like he's got to be cussing himself out in his head, right? As he's just laying there.
He had to sell it, man. He had to sell it. I will say this though: the more and more we watch this clip, it's becoming memorable to me. Like can't miss television.
Yeah, but it's becoming like Vince Russo WCW memorable, and I don't know if that's exactly the area we want to go to.
To
play devil's advocate, we're going to get Kenny coming out on Dynamite at some point saying, "I fooled you all. You all thought that Omega was going to die and that, you know, I tricked you all. I swindled you, blah, 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 blah." I mean, that's absolutely what he's going to say at this point.
Or we can rename the show from Dynamite to Fireworks.
Explosion.
Hey, not a bad idea, Tom. It's not a bad idea.
Day night fireworks.
They're going to start their own company podcast called AEW Explosion, and they're going to make a whole line out of it.
I'll make the next topic quick. We're going long. Rob, do you have something?
No, I was just going to say that the ending was obviously a dud, and I think what comes back to me is I've actually heard that before, so it just kind of hurts. I know what they're going through. I've been there. I don't think anybody got that where I was going, but it was more of a shot at myself. But
Pyro is trending on Twitter right now.
We're going to have to edit that. That one failed, but okay, let's move on.
Look, we have the Casino Battle Royale with a large amount of tag teams, maybe too many. There was a million things going on in this match. To be frank, couldn't keep up with most of it. That's okay. It wasn't for me. Cam, do you have a tweet for us?
I don't. I'm just wondering why you had to include the word maybe in that sentence.
So you felt the Casino Battle Royale was Is that the name of it was? Was it the Casino Battle Royale, even though it was on the show, or is it Revolution Battle Royale?
I think so. I'll double check, but I think
Cam, what did you think? Did it to you? Was it just hard to follow?
Yeah, it's the Casino Tag Team Royal, because there's no E at the end, so it's not Royale. It's just Royal.
Tag Team Royal on this one. That's cute.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, we have brass rings. We're Royal. We do stuff around here. This whole setup was ridiculous. But AEW is known for just throwing 20 people in a tag match, right? Like, that's kind of, they're starting to get kind of known for that. So this is actually right up their alley. I don't even know why I'm surprised. This makes total sense.
I expected a little more structure in this one. When I think of different types of Rumble style matches, there's usually those spots that are going to tell a story later and later. Wasn't a lot of those. Rob, I'll go to you. Did you like the tag team battle royale? Was there too many teams in it?
I think they have too many teams in it. And what's crazy is they actually took some teams out of it. You know, so like the groups like Top Flight were not in there. I think Chaos Project was originally in there, but they got pulled out. And
correct.
Originally, I believe the Acclaimed were supposed to be in there, but Bowens got hurt, and then they just moved Caster into that ladder match. So, and then I just wanted to also say there was another tweet that came out that Khan said that Christian actually called him and said he wanted to wrestle in AEW. So. And I will say something about that is, this has been said before, and I think people will start remembering this soon. Is Vince has never been a big fan of Christian,
never has been,
and nope. So I think Vince is okay with this one. I really do. So
But Tanner, what do you think of the tag match?
Oh man, disorganized would be putting it politely. It felt very, very messy. I did get to see some cool tag teams though that I liked. I mean, obviously, really, really happy that Rey Fénix and Pac won. Yeah, wow, that's late. Bear Country? Never heard of these fellas. I thought they were fun. They came across as what Heavy Machinery should have been. So I thought this was nice. There's some surprises in here, but honestly, this is as a match, this is fairly disorganized. I don't understand what happened at the end. I feel like I missed something, which is maybe no surprise. But something happened at the end where I think Rey Fénix and Jungle Boy both ended up on the outside, and I'm not quite sure if that was supposed to happen or not. I don't know. So, but I felt as though the finish was okay. They looked like they had to put it together on the fly, though.
Sure. I don't know if they put it together on the fly as much as it just wasn't as organized as it should have been. Uh-huh. You know, it was there.
If we came up with good enough names, could we have been in it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they were going to 40 teams, Cam. I can make a phone call directly and find out for you, I'm sure. I'm sure they won't care.
Yeah, just let them know I'm available. If they need to add in a 74th team, I can come up with somebody and hop right on in there.
I can probably find another big guy and be the new Natural Disasters, and I'd be all for it. I mean, I think it'd be a hell of a thing.
Our team name is going to – one of us is going to be named Explosion, and the other one's going to be named Sparkler.
Oh, God.
Speaking of explosions and sparklers, for the last time in the show, because we're pressed up against it and we still have a women's title match to see.
Kingston covering John Moxley.
Excalibur at the end always gets me. Oh my God.
The pause into the booing is probably the best part.
It's the pause in the booing, but it's also Excalibur's voice, because you know he's waiting for the rest of the explosion to happen that never happens. It's like, oh my, where in the fuck is the rest of us, guys?
Oh yeah.
Rob, hit me with the women's match. I had to put the kids to bed during this one, so I don't want to give it any disrespect. I only caught the finish of here.
You know, it was pretty good. The Shida going into this match, I knew Shida. I had a feeling Shida was going to win. I think you had to keep the title on her. She's been gone for so long, and
sure,
they want her to be their star. And I mean, originally when this tournament was announced, I figured it was going to be Shida versus Britt Baker is what I thought was going to happen, but they went a different route. So I was okay with it. Shida's a fantastic wrestler. I think they went with the right call. It was good to see a wrestler, a newer one that we haven't seen as much, go, you know, it won't be memorable by any means to me, but for a pay-per-view match, it was fine.
Okay. Cam, quick thoughts on this one.
Yeah. So, is it just weird or disrespectful that Britt hasn't held the title yet? That's a side question. We'll get to that later.
I don't know. Let me ask Britt if she feels disrespected. She doesn't have an action figure yet either, but I digress.
Jesus. God. Oh boy. Man, I love your style. I just love your style. Shida makes sense, right? She's a top three women's wrestler in the world right now, like five. I don't know what the number is, but it's not double digits, that's for sure, right? She's in the top 10, we'd say, in the world, right? And it makes sense. It just made sense for her to win. I love, as Rob said, there was a little bit of new blood in there tonight. Don't necessarily agree with that, but it's
good. Were you referring to Moxley's forehead, or you were talking about the new talent?
Both. There was good that there was new talent in the ring. I don't necessarily agree with who the challenger was, but it's nice to see that AEW is willing to go a little bit outside and bring in new women's talent to introduce to the crowd. I do applaud them for that.
Tanner, what did you think of the women's match? Did it have some fireworks for you on this one?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I thought it was really solid. I know that I feel like a lot of people put a lot of weight and pressure on this match for it to be like really, really epic. And I think
the talent
really felt that too, because they drew out the match. It was very long. They did a lot of spots where they were seemingly disrespectful to each other. And I do remember in our little chat that we had, Tony saying that, is Shida turning heel? And I mean, it was clear that both of them were just bashing each other out of sheer hatred. So they were both doing a little bit of heelish stuff. I'm not really quite sure what the story really was. Maybe I kind of lost that at some points, but I thought that the in-ring quality was really, really good. I felt like the story going into the match was good. The storytelling in the match was good. The dual heel then face turn kind of stuff kind of lost me in the middle a bit. But overall it was fine. I mean, I can't hate it. Like the other two gentlemen have pointed out, it's not going to be anything that's entirely memorable. I'm not going to say a year from now, hey, remember that women's championship match at last year's Revolution? Man, that was great. I probably won't do that, but you know, it was fine. It served a purpose. I think that what we're going to see in the future is some really interesting dynamics, again, with Thunder Rosa, who was reintroduced at the end, coming out in the match. I think that Nyla Rose and Britt Baker are going to serve a big purpose as well, continuing going forward in this women's title scene.
Sure, Cam?
Just so we're all on the same page, AEW Revolution Refund has made its way onto Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not because the streaming was bad. Yeah. So there's
I don't think it was that bad. I mean, yeah, it sucks at the...
Somebody did make a good point, and they say, we at least deserve a $10 refund for the fake explosion. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But then there are people that are actually serious about wanting a refund because of how bad the pay-per-view was as a whole. Some people are bashing the pay-per-view as a whole, saying it wasn't worth the 50 and they need a refund. Others are making light of the explosion, but there's sure. There's real mixed in with the joke, and the real is outweighing the joke right now.
It's very odd to me, only because of how strong their fan base is at the backlash they're receiving in the droves right now. But let's remember, unfortunately, for most of you fans out there who are listening, you tend to not give things a second chance in wrestling, and you tend to just blow them up right away, pun intended. So there it is.
The crowd was chanting refund at the stadium.
Yeah, they were is that a hard
tweet?
No, there were people there that were like, the crowd was chanting refund after the show went off air.
Ooh.
Well, you know, it's one hell of a way to go off the air with that. I'll walk it through the table one more time. We'll hop off. We'll see some explosions towards the end, and we'll move forward. Rob, what'd you think overall of the show? Go ahead with the tweet or news first, man. Tell me your overall.
No, I was just maybe I forgot about it. Did we cover Paige and Matt Hardy?
No, sure didn't. Oh, you want to hit on it for everyone?
I actually. I was just gonna say I really enjoyed that match. It was actually one of my favorite matches of the night. They went with the right guy, in my opinion. Adam Page, they need to keep the title on Kenny Omega as long as they can for Adam Page. Adam Page needs to be the guy
who beats
Kenny Omega.
Rob, you're 100% right. It has to be.
Yeah, but other than that, I enjoyed the show. Yeah, the ending sucked, but you know, I got what I was happy. I look at it like this. And this is going to be a shot at WWE, but as long as it's not as bad as that Hell in a Cell from 2 years ago, it was fine. You know, like that Seth Rollins and Bray or Fiend match, as long as it's better than that pay-per-view, I'm happy, you know? So they did their job. They put on a good show. The ladder match could have been maybe a little bit better, but it was still great. So by all means, I'll give it.
Okay. What are you giving it?
I'll give it a B+.
Sure. I thought the show was fine. I thought it wasn't a top five AEW show, but it was a fine show. Cam, thoughts overall?
I caught some, missed most, so I don't know if I'll give the most accurate representation. I would just ask enough people who saw, like,
from what what'd you think?
I don't know if it felt like it was worthy of being a pay-per-view. I'm not saying that it wasn't a good show. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean.
You're just saying from a price point standpoint, however, ROI at the $60, correct?
Yeah, zero ROI for me, right? Like, I don't think that was worth $60 of my money and my time at the same point. But that's just me. I thought the show was good. I thought that they had solid matches throughout. I thought the, you know, Christian and Ethan showing up, I thought added a little bit more juice to it. So, you know, again, kind of like Rob said, a B. Was it worthy of being that price point of a pay-per-view? No. And whatever argument people try to bring at me, I will disregard. So, you know, that's just what that is. But it was a good show. I just, you know, you have to be able to deliver when it's a pay-per-view. And I don't know if it delivered at that level.
Sure, that's fair. Taylor, hit me with your thoughts. Final thoughts of the show.
Yeah, man. First, I want to actually take a moment to agree with Rob. I really did enjoy the Matt Hardy and Adam Page match. I thought that was well done. I will say it felt to me more like a main event that could have been on Dynamite, perhaps, like a really like highly anticipated Dynamite main event. But I like that they added in, you know, the Dark Order into it and Matt Hardy's kind of stable into there as well. I thought it was just really, really well done in that regard. I'd like to see Adam Page be with the Dark Order and that be the big push that gets him with Kenny Omega. As far as the show overall, I think that the high points were pretty good. Obviously, there's going to be some stuff that irks a lot of people about this show. But is it worth your $60? I would say if you're a hardcore wrestling fan, if you're a hardcore AEW fan, if you were intrigued by maybe who Paul White was saying was going to be the new major signing of AEW, if you just wanted to buy the show to see what the main event was going to be like, then possibly that would be worth your $60. For me, I would agree with Rob. I think this is a solid B+ pay-per-view.
Okay. Before we go off the air on this show, we will show you the ending one more time of the pay-per-view. Quick plugs for everyone around the room. Rob, where can everyone find you on social media or anywhere else they want to reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rob Wilkins. Otherwise, you can email me anytime I post a article on shootingthesportish.com. You can click on my name and it should give you an option to email me. Right now, I'll give you a little tidbit. I am working on a Vince McMahon story, and after tonight, I will be editing a little bit, but we will go from there. But so, yeah.
Cool. Cam.
I am co-host. I'm a co-host of the Sports Summit podcast here on Shooting the Sports Ish on YouTube. So you can follow us there. We are at Sports Summit Pod on Twitter. You can find me on everything is at CM Says Stuff. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Parler, you know, anywhere you need to find me.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah, you can find me myself on Twitter at TexasGentleman_, where you see like little that thing right
that
there.
That thing, yeah.
you can find me there. I also do a show right here on Shooting the Sports Ish. Called Radio Techers, where myself and my co-host Mags, we discuss all things football, soccer related, whether it's Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, Italian Serie A. We discuss all of it. So if you like that kind of thing, if Premier League's your thing, come and hang out with us on Radio Techers Saturdays and or Sundays, usually around noontime, Central Standard Time. So yeah, check it out, enjoy, and then follow me on Twitter. Follow Radio Techers on Twitter at Radio Techers.
Awesome. I don't put any of myself over ever because I just don't care enough. I would love for you, however, to hit like and subscribe below to the Shooting the Sports Ish channel. And as promised, we will leave you with this. Good night, everyone.
At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we're upping the benefits without upping the price. Introducing Magenta Max, now with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, get Netflix on us. Right now, pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone, we'll pay it off up to $650, only at T-Mobile.
Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p, up to 40 gigs high-speed tethering, $650 via virtual prepaid card, allow 15 days, Simmons support charges waived, receive Netflix standard with two lines.